Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with God is not done with Israel, as we pick up in Hosea chapter 1, verse 11. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
There are many today who, in interpreting the Bible, the New Testament, like to exclude the nation Israel from the grace and the mercy of God. And they declare that God is through with the nation of Israel forever, and that the church is now Israel. And Paul, in writing to the church, does make reference to the fact that we who were once alienated have been brought nigh, and we have been grafted in and partakers of the fatness of the vine and so forth. And he does speak of our being blessed by God, that is the church. But it is wrong to say that the church is Israel. Paul says we are sons of Abraham through faith, but we are not Israel, nor are we the fulfillment of God's promises to Israel. And to spiritualize and make the church Israel is manifestly wrong. And I will give you one reason, and you need no more. There are many, but I'll give you one, and you'll need no more. Here in Hosea, in this similitude of Hosea taking a wife and her leaving him and becoming a prostitute, but then God saying to Hosea, go and get her again, purchase her and take her again for your wife, precludes the church spiritually being Israel. For the church is the virgin bride adorned and prepared for her husband, Jesus Christ. Not a harlot, not bought out of harlotry, not purchased back from adultery, but the virgin bride being prepared for Christ. So don't let these men who profess to be Bible scholars convince you that God is through with the nation of Israel and that there is nothing left for them. They've been cast out and God has placed us in and God is through with them. Not so. God has not finished yet with Israel, even in the place of the darkest area where God says, you are not my people, Lo-Ami. Not my people. Yet in that place, God will say, you are my people. And God is going to restore his work on Israel. Chapter 2, say to your brethren, and here he leaves out the lo, which is the negative. Say to your brethren, my people, and to your sister, Ruhamah, or having obtained mercy. So the negative lo is taken away in chapter 2. And say to your brother, my people, and to your sister, having obtained mercy, plead with your mother. Plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight and her adulteries from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked and set her as in the day that she was born and make her as a wilderness and set her in a dry land and slay her with thirst. And I will not have mercy upon her children, for they be the children of whoredoms. For their mother hath played the harlot. She that conceived them hath done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water and my wool and my flax, my oil and my drink. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up the way with thorns and make a wall, and she shall not find her path, and she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them, and she shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband, for it was better with me than now. So Israel's period of desolation, the period of wondering and wandering, until she says, I'm going to return to my first husband. I'll return to God. It was at least better for me then than it is now. For the Lord said she did not know that I gave her the corn and the wine and the oil and multiplied her silver and her gold, which they prepared for Baal. Therefore will I return and take away my corn in the time thereof and the wine in the season thereof, and will recover my wool and my flax given to cover her nakedness. Failed to realize that their blessings had come to them from God. So often as a nation is blessed of God, they forget the source of blessing. America, America, God shed his grace on thee. But we forget that. We begin to extol the merits of democracy, the value of the free enterprise system. And we begin to attribute the greatness of America to many other things, forgetting that it was God who gave us the corn and the oil and the wine, the gold, the silver. It was God that made us great. And we're prone to forget these things. And when you forget the true source of the blessing in your life, the result is the misuse of those blessings. Taking those very blessings that God has bestowed and using them against God. So the children of Israel were taking the wine, the oil that God had given, and they were offering it as a sacrifice unto Baal or Molech. And they worshiped them, taking the very blessings of God and turning them against God. As we so often see today, people who have been talented by God, given beautiful voices to sing with, and yet they are singing songs of blasphemy, suggestiveness. People who have a marvelous talent for writing, and they're writing pornographic material. Taking the very assets that God has given to them and using them against the Lord. Men that God has endowed with great brilliance, powerful intellects. And they use that intellect to try to prove that there isn't a God, or to destroy the faith of others who may believe in God. Taking the very blessings of God and turning them against the Lord. Now this, of course, God said, I'll come and I'll take away the corn in its time. You see, if you abuse those blessings of God, God will take them away. How many have lost those very things that God had given to them because of their misuse of them? Now God said, I will discover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and none shall deliver her out of my hand. I will also cause her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moons, her Sabbaths, and all of her solemn feasts. And I will destroy her vines, her fig trees, whereof she had said, these are my rewards that my lovers had given me. And I will make them a forest, and the beasts of the field shall eat them. And I will visit upon her the days of Balaam, wherein she burned incense to them. Balaam, of course, being the plural, the Baals, the various lords, the various gods that they were burning incense to. And she decked herself with earrings and her jewels, and she went after her lovers and forgot me, saith the Lord. And thus God's indictment against Israel. Worshipping all these false gods, going after these false gods, and forgetting the Lord. Therefore, behold, the Lord said, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. This is a prophecy of that time when, during the great tribulation, God will bear a portion of the nation of Israel down to the wilderness, where he will protect them for the 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation period. In Revelation chapter 12, we read where God will give them wings of an eagle that they might be born to the wilderness place where they will be nourished for 3.5 years. Jesus, mentioning this, said, "When you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, flee into the wilderness. Don't bother to go back to your house to get your coat." And God will preserve them and keep them. Isaiah 26, he will hide them until the tribulation is over, till the indignation is overpast. "Therefore, behold," the Lord said, "I will allure her." God is going to begin to deal again with the nation of Israel as he preserves them from the man of sin during the great tribulation period. "I will bring her into the wilderness, and there I will speak comfortably to her. And I will give her her vineyards from there, and the valley of Achor for a door of hope." Now, the valley of Achor is that valley that comes from Jericho up through to Bethel. It was in the valley of Achor, the trouble, word Achor is trouble, is where when they had conquered the city of Jericho and the children of Israel were moving into the land, where there was this little town of Ai, and some of Joshua's men said, "Hey, don't send the whole army. We'll go over and we'll wipe out Ai and we'll bring you all of the loot." And so they went over, and the men of Ai came out against them and began to defeat them. They came running back to Joshua, and Joshua fell on his face and began to pray. And the Lord says, "Why are you crying unto me? Why are you praying now? If everything was all right, you would have had victory, but there's sin in the camp." And so the Lord revealed that Achan, one of the men of Israel, had taken some of the loot from Jericho, which was all to be given to the Lord. He said, "You know, the first belongs to me. The rest, as you go into the land, you can divide among yourselves. But the first belongs to me." First fruits always unto God. Jericho, the first fruit, as they conquered the land, all belongs to God. Well, Achan saw this beautiful Babylonish garment, and he hid it in his own tent and all. And so the Lord revealed the sin of Achan, and it was dealt with there in the valley of Achor, the valley of trouble. They called the place Achor after the trouble that Achan, he said, "For you have troubled Israel." And so this valley where Israel was troubled, of course, coming up out of the Jordan Valley into the land again, will be the door of hope to the people. "And she shall sing there as in the days of her youth, and the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt," as in after the great tribulation period, when the Lord returns and these people then come from the wilderness, they will make their way back up into Israel through this valley of Achor. And there they will be singing as they did years ago in the times of Joshua, as they were coming into the land that God had promised, with singing and rejoicing. "So therefore they shall come and sing in the heights of Zion in this glorious day in the future. And it shall be at that day, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call me Ishi," that is, "my husband, and no longer Belai." Now, Belai, of course, is Lord, but it is using that pagan term, Baal. So you don't call him my Lord, but you'll be calling him my husband. "For I will take away the names of Balaam out of her mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name. And in that day I will make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of heaven and with the creeping things of the ground. And I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth, and I will make them to lie down safely." It's equivalent to Isaiah's prophecy, where they will beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks and all. And they will make a covenant with the animals. The animals will no longer be vicious. The the lion will lie down, or the lion will eat grass with the ox, and a little child shall lead them. The animal kingdom will again be at peace. In those days, you women won't have to have that abhorrence of snakes or all anymore, or worried about spiders or things of this nature. God is going to bring peace over the whole earth. No more wars, and people will lie down in peace and in safety. And I will betroth thee unto me forever. God is going to just restore forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment and in loving kindness and in mercies. And I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord. This is a prophecy that is yet to be fulfilled, still in the future, when this glorious work of God is wrought upon the people of Israel and upon that nation. And it shall come to pass in that day, I will hear, saith the Lord, I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth. And the earth shall hear the corn and the wine and the oil, and they shall hear Jezreel. And I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. And I will say to them which were not my people, thou art my people, and they shall say, thou art my God. And so the restoration. And this, of course, you remember, as Peter was speaking in the book of Acts, he said, as the scripture in all places speaks of the restitution of all things, this is that restitution that Peter was speaking about, not a universal restitution of all men, but the restitution of the nation of Israel to God, and the restitution of this relationship where they say, you are my God, and God says, you are my people, and God betroths them again in faithfulness, in love, and in mercy and all. This undying love that God has for these people. God's incurably in love with them. And this glorious time when they are restored and they acknowledge God, he acknowledges them. Then said the Lord unto me, Hosea is speaking here, go yet love a woman who is, go yet love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine. In other words, God is saying, now go take your wife again. Love her again. Though she has become a prostitute and has left you, go and take her, love her again. So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver. Now, the normal price of a slave was 30 pieces of silver. So this 15 pieces of silver indicates how completely destitute she had become. Probably sick, anemic, and all through her wasted life. Lost her beauty. Lost her desirability. He was able to purchase her for half the price of a slave. 15 pieces of silver. And for a homer of barley, or about 86 gallons of barley, and a half homer of barley, animal food, barley. And I said unto her, you shall abide with me for many days. You shall not play the harlot, and you shall not be for another man. So will I also be for thee. And so in the restoration, you're just to abide for many days. You're not to be for another man, and I will keep myself for you. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, without a prince, without a sacrifice, without an image, without an ephod, without the teraphim. And afterward shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God and David their king or their Messiah, and shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. Now, it is true, Israel has gone many days without a king and without sacrifices, without the priesthood, for those ephods and teraphims and all are a part of the priestly garments. And they have gone without these things for many days, many years. And yet, God is going to restore these things to them as Jesus Christ comes again, sits upon the throne of David, orders it and establishes it in righteousness and in judgment forever.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Hosea in our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Hosea 1 through 3 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord be with you, give you a beautiful week. And may his word sustain you as you walk with him in fellowship. May God really begin a powerful work in your life. May the Spirit of the Lord just really rest heavy upon you. May your life be like a light shining in a dark place, that others might be drawn to that light and find the source of the light, even Jesus. So God bless you and give you a rich week in fellowship with him.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
Lately, social media and our newscasters are predicting that worldwide calamity is right around the corner. In fact, so-called experts are saying we don't have much time left on the planet. Can we really believe this? Maybe they're just trying to scare us. Everybody seems to be asking the question, what is the world coming to? But as Christians, we don't need to be anxious because the answer is found in the book of Revelation. The Word for Today encourages our radio listeners to pick up a copy of Pastor Chuck's commentary on the book of Revelation entitled, What the World is Coming to. Known for his simple teaching of the scriptures, Pastor Chuck's commentary will help every reader understand what God's plan is for the human race. Not only will this book educate you about the future, it's an excellent resource to equip you to give an answer to those who don't recognize God's coming judgment. To order your copy of What the World's Coming To by Chuck Smith in print or in digital format, please call 1-800-272-9673, or you can order this book online at thewordfortoday.org.